I am John Cowsill, and you're listening to the Rock Solid Podcast.
Make me a deal and make it good for me. I won't get full of myself, I can't afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me in the Zoom room to promote the release of their album, Long After the Fire, please welcome Vicki Peterson and John Cowsill. How are you guys doing?
Hello, we are
pretty
well.
Pretty darn good.
Look at this Woo-hoo! Thing. Woo-hoo! Look at that.
Look at that.
Pat, look at that
look
thing.
Look at there.
How exciting is it to have your album out on colored vinyl?
Right? Very classy.
Pretty impressive. How'd you do that?
It took...
I know some people.
You know some people.
Apparently so. Yeah, did you know that Henry Diltz took our photo cover?
Absolutely, I did, because I read it right here in the liner notes, and I didn't have to squint because it's not a CD.
That's right.
It's the big, beautiful gatefold vinyl.
Did you see Pam Springsteen's name in there too, as the other photographer?
That name sounds very familiar to me because I know she is Bruce's sister and she's an excellent photographer.
Yes, she is an excellent photographer. She's done some great covers.
Feature.
Yeah. So we were fortunate to have her hang out and take pictures of it. In fact, it was her idea to use the pickup truck in something. Now, she didn't take that picture, but that stuck with me. She says, because she was leaving and we were going to have dinner or something. And she said, you got to take a video in that truck, which we did.
Which we did do.
And that was the first video we made in that truck because of Pam. So anyway, how are you?
I'm good. So the album's been out for a while. I'm going to tell people right now, it's 12 songs. It's perfect. There's no skippable tracks. It's recorded exquisitely. And your vocals, both of you, when you take the lead, it's just so emotional. I just love it so much.
Thank you.
So,
thank you for that.
Now, here's the thing I did not know. Okay. I got the MP3 files well before the physical release came out. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I did not know that I was listening to songs that were written by your dearly departed brothers, Bill and Barry. So when I read that, it added a whole new listening experience for me.
Yeah.
What was it like to, there must have been some emotional days in the studio singing the words of your brothers.
Yeah.
I'd say so.
Yeah. My daughter and I have a website called willcryforyou.org. So if you can't cry, we can.
They'll take it on.
Yeah. Yeah. It was some days were more emotional than others, you know, and then depending on the song and depending how you were thinking about it when you're singing the song, because that's what we did. I mean, I can't help it because they're my brothers and I've heard them, I've watched them write them and I've watched them sing these exact songs and why I love them so much. And when I just hardly got it out of my mouth to Vicki, you know, we should do this project. She says, I could not miss this. And she's a big Cowsill fan, which is maybe fun for her to be able to participate. I see it on her face sometimes, you know, I think it's funny, but
it is fun.
But she got to pick some cool songs she's always loved and got to sing. And
I was always a big admirer of Bill Cowsill and his artistry. And I did get to spend some time and get to know Barry well over the years. So I did pick a couple of Barry songs to cover, you know, one of which Barry sang at our wedding, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I think the songs really showcase kind of his soul, his take on the world, what may not have been apparent when you met him live and in person, but knowing him a little bit, just a beautiful creature he is. and was.
And which track was that that was sung at your wedding?
When Hearts Collide.
Oh,
that just... one.
With nary a breeze, my love will rise like an old oak tree, and I'll reach up and touch your sky, feel your sun come closer when hearts collide.
Stunning. Yeah, that's a, that makes me cry when I hear that and sing it. And we haven't sang it live.
Yeah, no, we haven't. Oh.
Because you'll cry in front of an audience.
No, that's not why. I cry over everything.
He cries during the show.
I cry when often. I drop a, cry when I drop a pick.
And we cry more as we're getting older. I'm not a young man. And I just, it comes easier for some reason.
I'm a sentimentalist and yeah. I'm a big lover. And, you know, we all take a turn being an asshole in the world. You got to remember that. Everybody's just taking a turn. But basically, I just love people and I love life. And as you get older, perspectives changes. I think I'm way more sentimental.
Yeah.
And things are endearing. Cowsill stuff that I, you know, as a child growing up, I'd hear a Cowsill song on the radio. And if I'm with my friends, I turn that thing off. It's like, it's embarrassing, you know, because I'm a kid. You know, it's like, right. stop, you know. But, and the things that bothered me in the being in the Cowsills and stuff, you know, that's all gone, just disintegrated. You only remember the good shit, you know, and the fun times. And it's endearing.
Yes, for sure.
Okay. And
I have in my notes that your vocal on When Hearts Collide, it's beautiful. And that one's really a highlight for me. I mean,
it is. I agree.
I appreciate that.
I mean, and that comes late inside too. And it's just, that's what I mean. The album is just still moving along and cooking and just glorious, you know, even at the end of side two. It's true. So now, six Bill songs, six Barry songs. How many songs were there to go through to whittle it down to these?
A lot.
Well, there were quite a few. I mean, we had to keep a certain rule book in place. And so they had to be songs that one or both of them either wrote or co-wrote. So there are songs that are on the Blue Shadows albums that was work that Bill did in Canada with a group that he began and worked with for a few years in Canada called the Blue Shadows, made a phenomenal record, made two great records, right?
Yes.
But, and there are songs on there that we would have died to cover, but like, oh, well, Bill didn't, he sang it, but he didn't write that one. So, oh, well, it doesn't count. And there were definitely songs that, you know, we looked at, thought twice about. It just kind of shook out to these 12, and I think it's a good split. Obviously, we're going to do a Barry side and a Bill side on the vinyl because we could do that.
Yeah. But
timing wise, actually, we couldn't. You know, there are certain technologies about it, technicalities. Mm-hmm. But
well, I think the sequencing is solid because it just flows. And I like too that it's not like, it's not John sings one, then Vicky sings one, then John sings one. There's, you know, John a couple, then you come in, and it's good. It's a nice flow. It feels like, I don't know, it feels like Stevie and Lindsey.
Oh, great.
I'm listening to a Fleetwood Mac album, and we get some Stevie, we get some Lindsey. Before we get too far in, I want to let people know you can go to Vicky Peterson and johncowsill.com. You're going to find out everything you want to know about this fine duo, including upcoming tour dates, which are going to start in January 2026 after the new year. Also, Instagram is at Vicky and John Music, facebook.com/ Vicky and John Music. So you're going to find out everything about them there. Now, if you don't know anything about them, Vicky is best known for her work with the Bangles and the Continental Drifters. John is best known for his work with Cowsills and the Beach Boys, and they've both recorded three albums with the very prolific Mr. Bill Mumy as the group called Action Skulls.
That's right. So, one of our other bands.
So after 22 years of marriage, why is this really your first proper album as a duo? Why?
Partially because of everything you just mentioned.
Okay, fair.
John was on the road for 23 years with the Beach Boys. I was touring off and on with the Bengals and or the Continental Drifters during that time. We did, God bless us all, meet up with Bill Mumy and start creating with him, which was just, so every moment that John was home, we were pretty much working with Bill for a number of those years.
Is there room? Is there room in the new house for me? I follow the breadcrumbs to your door. You know what I came here for. Is there room in the new house for me? Is there a secret?
And then we tend to be, as John says, we tend to be very domestic when we are at home. When he is home, it would be, you know, like, let me give you the list.
Here's the list of things that we need you to do. At the California house, it's this way. Yeah,
yes.
It's because it's a big house. But when we lived in New York, it's just a studio apartment. There is no list like that. So we could
there
just
were little mini
sleep.
Lists. Because John is cursed. John is cursed with the gift of being able to be a handyman.
I know how to do stuff.
And a carpenter. And it's a bit of a curse and a gift. Maybe a curse for him. It's a gift to me.
I'm a master finished carpenter, and I make things look really nice.
Yeah. So we've, you know, there are projects galore. And so sometimes that would take precedent over being creative together. And it really took the brothers to get us to do this.
Yeah, it did. And we just had to pull the trigger. And that didn't even feel good when we pulled the trigger. It's like, you said, why do we do it right now? Because now we're in New York. And
I just moved to New York.
California. Like all this stuff. Because there's never a right time to start anything or to leave somebody or to tell somebody bad news, good news. There's no good time. Just get it out.
Just do it. But that being said, there is a right time. And I think we did weirdly through the universe find the right time, you know. And yes, I had just moved to New York on a whim. John was still on the road, so it didn't matter where he
Yeah, okay. Out. So and also so, I'm gonna interrupt.
Never.
My being on the road wasn't normal. I did 183 plus shows a year plus travel days. I'm gone, you know, 90% of the time.
Yeah.
So then the other stuff goes into that hole that she's talking about. Right. But go ahead.
So then I began commuting from New York to back to California to make this record twice a month.
We got the miles for
it. We got her done.
Yeah.
I hate to even ask this question then.
Uh-oh.
Because you're still promoting this one. You're still playing this one.
Oh, God, yes.
Have you thought about the next album? And will it be original stuff by you two?
Maybe.
That will come, but probably not the next album. Next album, we're doing a Christmas album.
Oh, so that is
neither one of us have ever had a proper Christmas album put out. Cowsills made a Christmas single in the 60s called The Candy Kid. It didn't do anything. And
the boy
was happy. It was a candy king from the Mission on the Bowery.
Then we had a newish kind of song called Christmas Time, a song for Marissa, which is Bob's daughter. Anyway, and that's out now too on a Cowsill's re-release of Global.
It's Christmas time, a special time when all the world shares the wonder of the holiday with evergreens and caroling and logs by the fire. The feeling that love is
so, well, now Christmas is about family. Yeah. Is there any chance that maybe a Debbie Peterson is on that album or some Cowsill siblings?
There's okay. Actually, yeah, there's all kinds of ideas.
It's in the planning stage.
It is in the stage.
I mean, I blurted that out. She's probably kicked me under. She couldn't find my leg to kick me.
Yeah, you've got a bruise. For sure. Because now people are thinking, oh, well, that's going to be next year then, 2026.
It will be.
Hopefully.
All right. That's the goal. But now that I've said it, we have to do it.
Yeah.
You have to do it. It's out there in the ether. Yeah.
But there will be some things with...
We're playing around with that.
I'm not a big writer. I'm a song seeker. And I find songs that I love. There'll be some of that for sure for me. Vicky writes... She's got to sit down and do it, you know, and I can kind of write melodies and good chord structures, but I'm not a lyricist. So it's difficult for me unless somebody's already writing something and I'll think, oh, this line would be great there. And I've done that in the Action Skulls. I'm a co-writer in the Action Skulls. And that's where I've gotten my feet wet in actually writing. Because anything I ever wrote, I just tossed it in a trash can before anybody ever heard it. So
yeah,
well, we'll see. Like I said, we're playing around with the idea, but we have been enjoying this process very much.
Yeah.
We've been absolutely enjoying being out there and playing live,
and
which
definitely is not done doing this album.
No, of course not.
No.
I mean, this we will haven't always, even got it started.
Yeah, this will definitely. Yeah, 26 will
26 be, will run it.
Will be you know, many more dates focusing on this work. And then playing around with some other stuff too. So,
and what's the set list look like? Is it majority of this album? And then do you guys throw in some nuggets from the other
absolutely.
Careers?
Absolutely.
Okay.
All of our other bands.
Action Skulls, Continental Drifters, Cowsills, Bengals.
Yeah. Just from, you know, just our histories, you know, our a little, a collection of our musical histories.
It's fun. Yeah. And we tell stories a lot in our shows, probably too much. My sister talks more than I do, I think, but. It's a close tie
pretty
on
close
stage.
These days.
Karen and I are pretty bad.
Those are the kind of shows I like when people are telling you some stories about the song and then we hear the song. That's what makes
it.
That's my wheelhouse. Now
we're like this all night with people, just like we are with you right now. We are talking to people in the audience.
Now on tour, is it just the two of you with some guitars or is it augmented with other band members?
It depends. We've done several shows as a trio, and we will also continue doing that into 26 sometimes. Sometimes it's just the two of us on guitars, one electric, one acoustic. And then we have been recently having our son Will play bass with us, which is really fun.
He's awesome.
When he can get away from his day job, you know. So
I want a band. I so want a band so bad, but we just can't have it yet.
Yeah.
But I want a full band. I want
a pedal. Different thing.
I want a pedal steel. I want a bass. I want drums.
One day.
Keyboard. That's it.
And Will's on this album. I read his name.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. He sang on there.
He sang
background
with
vocals.
Us.
Track Sound on Sound and When Hearts Collide. Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's an incredible musician too, really, and starting to write himself with his friends and his band in a band called Lockwood, and they got a Spotify channel and all sorts of stuff.
It's really good rock.
They're
music.
Really great. It's hard rock, but it's great.
So let me ask you this: the title of the album, "Long After the Fire," that comes from the song "Embers."
Yes.
Correct.
How long did it take you, and why did you settle on those four words as the title of the album?
I'll take the first half. We had been trying to figure out a name, and one night it must have been between 1:30 and 2 in the morning. It was late in the morning. We're walking. We were living in Bay Ridge and just walking down our favorite sidewalks. And we're out there just thinking of the titles, and I just had that song in my head, "Long After the Fire," you know. And I said, just blurted it out really. We just said a couple of things. And I said, "Long After the Fire." And we looked at each other. We said, "Wow, that's she goes, "I think that's it.
It was like, you said it.
And I went, wow, it's perfect, because they will last long after the fire.
Yeah,
we do.
It's like evidence. It's
especially
the whole,
that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And then the idea of embers, I mean, it's something that is, it's a remain, it's a lasting, you know, peace physically, but also emotionally and spiritually, you know, that's always going to be there.
We don't go away. We're here.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Perfect title.
Unto dust, we shall return.
Thank you for sharing that.
The embers keep burning long after the fire. Oh, memories returning like your voice on the wire. The war loves in ashes. You're still my one desire. And the
track three, I want to give a shout out to Vicky on lead vocal, "Come to Me." Just a great, great song.
If you're feeling down and out, and you're thinking you can't hold out, come to me.
Just when we get bored with John for two songs,
I know, here comes Mickey. And now for something completely different.
That is stunning.
Yes.
I think that is it's my favorite track, my favorite recorded song on the album, I think, except when I listen to the other ones. But that one really stands out to me, and it kills me every time. She did such a great job on that song.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But
that was one of those songs that we did sort of have to birth in a more elaborate way, because the only versions of that song that we knew, one was from a cassette recording that was made live at the Troubadour somewhere around 1979, with John on drums and their friend Randell on bass and Barry on guitar. So that's a story John tells during our show, but it was, we had that cassette recording, and we also had, there was a version that was done, a sort of adapted version by a musician.
A friend covered his song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
that was covered
on and rewrote it,
released in Japan, I think only. But anyway, so we had these two versions and that was it. But we knew the song and John obviously knew it. He remembered playing it. And but the take of it, the feel of it was, we did such a complete almost reimagining of the feel.
You won't know because you've never heard the original.
It was like a reggae kind of thing. He was doing something completely different with it. We built a track, basically. We built a rhythm track.
I will say, if it was not for our producer, Paul Allen, this album would never have been
that made. Is true. Nothing would happen.
Nothing would have happened. It wouldn't sound like it does. Mm-hmm. He's just a genius in the studio.
Yeah, he really is.
And an incredible musician. He played a lot of the instruments on there, along with what we do. Yeah. We do our thing, and then he made it. He made it great.
He did a lot. And you have to understand that we're working out of our home studio, which was in a slight semi-state of disrepair, and using
antiquity.
Very old versions of software, old hardware, old everything is old. We're redoing it now, it's going to be a fresh start. But he had to sort of do workarounds. Every 3 minutes, it seemed like something was happening. He had to do a workaround.
So when it got to come to me, Vicky had this rhythm she wanted to have in it. Dum, 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 but not normal like that. So she had a particular pattern she wanted to have done there. And we figured what that was.
Drums, yeah.
And Paul, between her and Paul, they came up with this thing and the sensitivity in the choruses. And then Paul's sitting at the drum set working it out with her. And he goes,
because
he's arranging it in his head. Because he really, we had the basic arrangement, but Paul is the one who made that track float.
Yeah.
And then sting in the choruses. And it's one of my favorite tracks. When he sent that to us, we just went, we did. We're just the air in the track, the space that he left in there.
Yeah. So how did you guys get hooked up with Paul? How do you know Paul Allen?
Hit it. this is John's story.
During my not so bright years, I'll call them, from 85 to 98, I lived in Ojai, California, and I was a Finnish carpenter. I had become a carpenter. And So I got a call from the lumberyard who I always run my orders through. And they said, hey, they got a special job for me to do up at this place. You know, some lady wants you to come up, but she needs somebody special. And we thought of you. I said, okay. And so I went up there and a young woman comes out. And she's just gorgeous. I would have said yes to the job no matter what, you know, just because it was a beautiful home. And she was like, yes, I'm here. What can I do for you? She said, I have this job. And it was for probably a week or two. I'm not sure of that, but it was a little while. And she wanted me to set some windows for her in her garage and this and that. She says, but the reason she asked for me was because she wants her son to work with me. And there's an 11-year-old standing next to her, 11 or 12, and it was Paul. And that's where I met Paul. And he followed me in my truck that's in that video. He loves this truck. For 2 weeks, we were together. And I taught him how to drill into rocks and stuff. And he had a drum set and a old guitar with a dog leash tied around the guitar. And I kind of fixed that up for him. Didn't see him again after I had finished the job. And then about 20 years later, I'm at playing the Ryman and I get a text message from this person saying, hi, I'm Paul Allen. I don't know if you remember me, but you know, you worked with me up the house. And I went out and there he was. And he was, you know, 6'3", 6'4", however tall he is, and lanky and beautiful. And we just hit it off right then again and reestablished a relationship. He kind of hung out with us for a a huge amount of time. He moved here from Nashville in our same neighborhood so we could hang out. And he loved that I had my truck and he would get in. I felt like he felt we were family in a way, because those memories when you're 11 and 12, and I know because I remember all mine, very strong. And because I'm saying, wow, he remembers me after all this time, like what I did, and I found me at the Ryman. We had mutual friends in OI. Anyway, he asked us out on this porch right outside this door. He says, so what do you guys want to do? You know, I said, well, what do you do? He says, I'm a studio musician. I'm a guitar player. That's all he says. He does not talk himself, doesn't say anything. You got to find out everybody who he's played for, recorded with. It's just insane. His roster is insane. And so he's hanging out with us. And we said, we're doing a song for a Continental Drifters tribute thing, and I recorded a song with him that Vicky wrote, and it was a tribute to her and her bandmates. And so I recorded it alone downstairs with Paul, with Vicky kind of making some noises on the beginning of it. Anyway, after that, it came out so beautiful. I said, you're gonna produce our album, and he just said okay, basically. And then he made it shot. The first song we recorded was Is Anybody Here? And that's only because I was playing with the Beach Boys in Memphis, and Paul calls me up from Nashville and he says, hey man, you want to go record at Sun Records? I see you're playing in Memphis. I said, why? Well, he says, so we can say we recorded at Sun Records. And you know, you've been talking about this Dead Brothers project forever. Cause I told him, you know, we want to record these songs with my brothers, and we called it Dead Brothers project. And so we went there and we recorded this song that basically is a tribute that Bill and Jeffrey, you know, tipped the hat to Roy Orbison. And that is Anybody Here, if you've heard it on the CD. And that was done at Sun Records. And that was the first song 2 years before we actually really started the album.
It's funny you bring up Roy Orbison, because in my notes, I have written down that Sound on Sound, that music gives me a Roy Orbison vibe too.
Oh yeah.
I can get that.
It's very pretty
the
woman.
The groove of it, sort of.
Yes.
Looking for the workstation, good to find my boom shovel. Living at the weigh station, looking for the song, brother. Sound on sound.
Yeah, so there we got two kind of Roy, the big O right Roy there, back to back, back 4 and 5. Let me ask you, how long did it take you to decide whose name was going to be first on the album?
Took no time at all, and I'll tell you why. Do you want to tell him? No, I'll tell it. Because okay, so if you go into a bank and you want to get a loan, and I'm the guy, say I don't have any money. But my wife does. She's like the financier. She's got tons of money. They're still going to put my name first on the paperwork.
You're right.
They call her the wife.
I'm the co.
She's the co. Yeah, it is her entity and her existence alone that surpasses mine for this situation. And so we notice this all the time. We notice this. We see it all and we talk about it. We kind of say, yeah, it's like, you know.
Like, oh, look, I've had this mortgage for 15 years and I just put you on. Oh, look, you're first.
So we put.
And I'm the co-owner.
So we made the name of the band, Vicky Peterson and John Cowso.
I love it.
For that reason. Yes, it was. And it sings better.
It's reverse alphabetical. I've always gotten screwed in the alphabetical world.
Yeah. But
yeah, because he would be he's got the first name, he the J's before the V and the C. Yep. Yeah. So good deal.
Yeah. We flipped it. We're flipping it, you know. Been a little contrary there.
Too now, funny.
Since we're talking Vicky up a little bit, I see that you have a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame shirt on. And I just want to say it's time that the Bangles are in that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Too far to the right now.
Thank you for that.
We agree.
It's ridiculous. The book just came out a little bit ago. I read the book. Is there a doc in the works?
There is, actually.
All right.
We have a, we're working with a production company and we are in process. We have been for a period of time. We've been working with the same producer and director for a while, but we are just about to connect with the production company and head out, head into the big red world of getting it done.
All right. I mean,
that'll be a 26 project for sure.
That the Go-Go's doc definitely helped with them getting inducted. Not that they wouldn't have been anyway, but I'm just saying, sometimes you have to remind people the success and the magnitude of these bands that aren't in yet.
Exactly.
People that I can't believe aren't in yet.
Well, we're in, as John likes to say, we're in good company for the people who are not nominated
that's
or
what I always
inducted.
Say.
There's a lot of great bands. So. Yeah.
But when I see they wait so long sometimes, like with Bad Company, and so Paul Rodgers couldn't really enjoy that the way he should have been able to enjoy it. And so I want people like you and Melissa Etheridge, I want these people to get in while you can enjoy it.
While
you're alive. But you'll be alive for a long time. But let's not wait. We don't want you in 30 years.
Either.
Yeah, we don't want the Bengals in 30 years. We want them in soon. So.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Thank
so
you,
we
Pat.
Can still watch and adore them.
Yeah, so
that's
we can
right.
go to the ceremony if we want to.
Now, I don't like to... I don't know how to say this without.
That was quick of me, wasn't it?
It was very good. You're shutting me down, and maybe that's why.
Good at that.
This music is different from things you've done before. To my ears, when "Fool Is the Last to Know" starts, immediately I'm like, "Well, this is something different that I'm not used to from the two of you per se." Mm-hmm. It's definitely. Is it Americana? I mean, it's definitely goes country in places.
It totally country and Americana. Yeah. I mean, we call it Americana because
you are okay. So you are labeling it.
If you have to label it, that umbrella fits best.
Because it's country. That's traditional country.
It's traditional country.
Yeah, there's country swing on there. There's you know folk tinge and there's rock. I mean, you know, sound that's, on sound, you said.
That's
you know,
the like, Texas Cowboys on Fool's Last One to Know.
Super fun to play, actually. This is, for me, and you said it's something new. Although I have, in my grown-up years, enjoyed country more than I did when I was a kid. I was not into it at all as a child, other than some of the duets that were out, you know, always like Johnny Cash. The classic country, you know, Tammy, you know, all the duets and everything, which I now really just love. Grand Parsons and Nebby Lou, you know, that I kind of got exposed more to that and lived in that world more when I joined the Continental Drifters. In the 90s for me slid me right into that. Americana, the term Americana didn't really even exist when the Continental Drifters started. We were an alternative rock band. We weren't, you know, there was no name for what we were doing, swamp pop, you know, for the Continental Drifters. And, you know, I really thought that we were going to be the flag bearers to like, this is it, this is Americana, and we're doing it. And that kind of got shifted over to people like Wilco, I think. But for me, musically, I was introduced to a whole new genre and an older genre of music that I really learned how much I enjoyed. So singing that for me is really fun and feels like a natural fit, even though I've always kind of been, no, I'm just a rock singer, man. but I actually more naturally fit the country, Americana
she
style.
Does.
Now, learning to play the guitar parts that Paul Allen performed on our record is a whole new challenge, and really fun, but definitely a challenge for me because I've never played country guitar before. So it's a whole thing. It's a thing.
And I want to let people know, if you're listening and you're thinking, oh, I don't think I like Americana or I don't think I like country, I think this record is the perfect introduction for you. You're going to love this record, Long After the Fire. Great. Seriously, because I cannot stop playing it.
I love that.
And my wife's like, this is great. Who is this? And then I tell her. She's like,
thank you so much. Yeah,
that means really a lot. Thank you.
So how long did it take to record the album from once you plugged in the guitars until it was mixed?
It was about 2 years.
About 2 years.
Yeah. Don't forget, we were sort of back and forthing a lot. Yeah. And we grabbed, if you look at our calendars from those years, from they're hilarious. It's like, record at Wild Rose, nothing, record, nothing, next month. just like little grabs of 3 days, 4 days here, there.
Yeah.
So it was spread out over a number of months. Once we really got into it, we got into a better schedule. We were a slow start. Yeah. It was a slow start.
we had to find a lot of the work was sleuth work, finding the publishing. Barry and Bill are passed away. So it wasn't like I could call them up and say, hey, man, I want to use those songs. It dawned on me, I have to pay a licensing fee for these songs. Wow. And where do I pay that
fee?
Where
do we find that?
How do I find where these songs are? And they were the worst businessmen, let me tell you. And they had no managers or anything.
But some of the songs it was like a treasure hunt, for
it
sure.
It was a treasure
and
hunt.
And you might wonder why would we have to worry about that or whatever? Well, in this day and age, it's back in the olden days, the label would be taking care of that. So somebody working at the label, that's their job to run down all the licensing. But we had to prove to a label before we even went to the label, we had to prove to them all of these songs can be licensed legally. And they're all clearable. We're good to go. So in order to do that, I had to come up with a spreadsheet and promise them that all the stuff,
everything had codes and nothing musical, nothing fun.
Yeah.
Wow. And so you have to get all those ducks in a row before you even start recording them because you don't want to.
We should have, but we didn't. We recorded
first. Okay.
We were working on hope. No. And that was something that, because Paul, who's very knowledgeable about all these different aspects of putting out a record,
he started
getting on us like, you guys have to get this together. And so, eventually it was like, oh, okay. Now I'm seeing the point of what you're making here, because we can't go to a label and get this project,
And we were clueless. And Paul's like, you got to do this. He's like, dude, we don't know how to do this. We'll figure it out, and she's so tenacious. She figures out stuff really quick. And I just say, I can call people for you. That's about it. I can talk to people.
I'll figure it out.
But I can't do the other stuff. It was a lot of work to put it out.
It was a good education for us, actually.
So now when you start to record this Christmas album, if you're doing covers, you're gonna get that licensing immediately.
We'll get it all.
Yeah, that'll be easy though, because those are all. Well, we don't know which ones we're going to do.
That's true.
We'll find out.
We don't know. And we might write some.
Yeah,
this will probably be one of the last questions. What's the feeling like when the box comes from the label to the house and it's got the vinyl in there, and you open it and pull it out and look at it for the first time? What's that feel like?
Well, we did actually film it.
Oh, you did?
We did do a classic.
You did an unboxing video.
We did an unboxing video. We did a couple of
they're
them.
There. They're
it was so
there.
Fun.
Was and fun. So you did it, and you did it legit. Like, you didn't like the we first time legit. You opened it, that was the real first it's time.
True. Yeah, we did that.
It's true.
Okay, excellent.
We it's set true. It up.
It's and, legit. It's and, we were laughing, but it's
right
legit.
Right with the razor. I had a whole slew of tools just to be funny.
Yeah, like, we're silly about it.
Every tool, hammers, chisels, everything out on
they
the table.
They pack it really
to open
well.
The box.
That is funny.
Yeah, you should check out our unboxing video.
It's pretty good.
And if people come see you on the road, you have copies that they can buy at the shows?
Absolutely. Hell yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got t-shirts, CDs, we sell
picks.
We sell our Action School CDs and our Vicky and John
albums. I bring scissors, cut a lock of her hair, and everything's for sale.
We will not do that.
All right. Well, once again, Long After the Fire, it is out right now. You can stream it, but I don't want you to stream it. I want you to go buy it, buy a CD.
Go buy the physical.
Buy the vinyl. Yeah.
Look, if you want an album.
If you want to stream it and then go, wow, I really do like this, and then buy it, fine.
That's okay.
But buy it. And website, Vicky Peterson and johncowsill.com. Instagram, Vicky and John Music.
We need to get our story. And,
and with that, I would like one of you to pick our playout song for today.
Oh, wow.
He's saying, Vicky, which song?
Which album?
From this album, from Long After the Fire.
Okay. How about...
You in my mind.
Sound on Sound.
Sound on Sound. Again, that's the one that gives
something
me the Roy Orbison vibe.
The Roy Orbison vibe. Yep.
All right. And with that, thank you, Vicky. And thank you, John, and everyone.
Yeah.
Buy this album and please enjoy Sound
on Sound.
Thank you
so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Happy holidays.
You too. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Looking for the workstation, good to find my boom shovel, living at the way station, looking for the song, brother, sound on sound.